The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Turns out we're not taking an air break. Rolien is there. Rolien, welcome to the show.
I'm always here. I'm never too far away. Good to speak to you, Mr. Chad.
You thought you got rid of me, eh?
Never.
I'm like that rash that doesn't go away.
The one that there's no cream for, but a welcome one. What can I say?
If there's such a thing as a welcome rash. Let's get down to business. We're hearing about rockets being fired by Hezbollah. What is going on?
Okay, so let's break it down. This was Friday. There were 19 rockets fired from southern Lebanon into Israel. At least 10 of them intercepted by the Iron Dome. Six of them falling short, or six of them rather falling in empty fields, and three falling short in Lebanon. Now, it's very important because this is the biggest conflagration or escalation that we've seen since the second Lebanon war in 2006. And of course, it comes at a time when a new president has been sworn in Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, much more of a hardline, if that's even possible, than his predecessors, Ahmadinejad and Rouhani. And the IDF hit back with artillery shells and firing on launching targets. But what was very interesting and didn't make the mainstream media were Druze villagers chasing out Hezbollah terrorists in their villages and trying to stop them from firing from within civilian infrastructure, because they know it's a common tactic used by Hezbollah and Hamas, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, to fire on our civilians from within their civilian infrastructure and so draw fire and, of course, the world media. And it looks as if we're firing indiscriminately on civilians, but that's not the case. So very, very interesting maneuvers there. The U.S. Department of State coming out to condemn the firing from southern Lebanon into Israel. Ken Roth of Human Rights Watch, as we can well expect this from Ken Roth, equating, drawing a moral equivalence between Hezbollah, which more and more countries recognize as a terror organization. But they are a proxy of Iran, and you know, as we see world or global pressure kind of coming down on the Iranians for the attack on the Mercer Street, as we speak, we've got British SAS combing the area for suspects who would have carried this out. But we've got international pressure on Iran because of this, even though they're going so far as to go to the UN Security Council. This is still Iran trying to send a message saying, you know, we've got muscles and we will flex them. In the south on Friday, arson terror balloons sent over the border into Israel, setting at least four fires. Israel responding that night with targeted strikes on areas that are known to launch these balloons. And our Prime Minister coming out and saying, you know, this is not going to be tolerated. We will treat arson terror balloons the same as we would treat rockets. You know, it is a war crime. These balloons come in. They're not cutesy balloons. They have Molotov cocktails attached to them. They cause thousands of dunams of destruction in very, very valuable and important agricultural land and nature reserves.
Sure. So it seems like as much as things change, so they stay the same. And one would have thought that this was the time for talks, the time for, I don't know, a calming down of the tension, considering you've got this multi-party that is now taking the helm. But everything is unpredictable. And like I said, as much as things change, so they seem to stay the same. And I just give up. Why did
Russia I think on that, it's very, very important to understand that this is not Israel being the belligerent here. This is very much Iranian-driven. In fact, yesterday we had the chief diplomat from Bahrain, the foreign minister in the country, signing memorandums of understanding with Israel, stating quite unequivocally that the uptick in violence is because Iran is not held accountable, because the Iranian nuclear treaty was too lax, was too easy on the Iranians. We know that the protagonists, Hamas, Hezbollah, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, are all Iranian proxies. You know, our policy is very simple. Stop the rockets, stop the fire, and there is peace and there is quiet. We will have quiet for quiet. But there has to be an end to the belligerence of Iran. And this comes on the weekend as Raisi was inaugurated and hosting and stating quite unequivocally for the head of terror organizations like Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Hamas that the Palestinians remain the top of his agenda. Now, if he had any sentiments towards peace, he would force the issue towards the negotiating table. And we have seen overtures coming from Palestinians and Israeli ministers talking to each other over the last couple of weeks. And this is very much a gigantic spanner that Iran wants to throw in the works there.
So just to clarify, what I meant by my statement was the fact that in the midst of a multi-party coalition, if the enemy sees an opportunity to perhaps sit down and talk, this would have been the opportune time, rather than to resort back to violence and continue with this unnecessary provocation. And that is when I say, when the things appear to change, they just stay the same. Let's move on. Russia has objected to Israel's gold medal for gymnastics. Why?
I tell you, the Russians, you know, it's okay for them when their gymnast drops a ribbon and goes on to win a gold medal, but it's not okay for us. So an amazing moment for Israel this weekend as our Linoy Ashram, 22-year-old rhythmic gymnast. I don't know if you saw her chat. She was really, really something to behold. I can't do that. I would need a chiropractor in at least 3 seconds. But going on to win the gold, and this is a sport very, very much politicized and very much dominated by the Eastern European countries. And Russia has held the record of the most gold or a gold at every Olympic in the last 29 years. So what happened during the last heat of her routine is Ashram dropped her ribbon. Now, she scored in the other three competitions much higher than Dina Averina, who is the European champion. She won gold, incidentally, for dropping her ribbon. But when the gold was announced for our Linoy, they demanded a probe. They want an investigation. They say that this could perhaps have been deliberate. And what makes it even worse is that RT, which is Russia Today, the national broadcaster, they had a segment where somebody accused the judges of being Jewish, and to get their kind of revenge or get their own back on the Russians, they denied the Russians this much sought after gold medal and handed it over to the Israeli because, you know, of course, that's what Jews are like. That's what they're going to do. I wonder how that statement's going to be treated by the Olympic committee. Linoy says she's really not paying any attention to that kind of language. In an interview, she went on to say, you know, that she, her coach, all the sponsors worked very, very hard for this moment. This moment is for Israel. Reports that she went up to hug Averina afterwards to say well done and was snubbed. But what I didn't know, which I found out when I got the report of the cabinet meeting yesterday, is that all three of Israel's gold medalists, we had one for windsurfing at a previous Olympics. Yes, people, windsurfing is a sport here, and we got a gold. As well as Artem and Dolgoviat, he got for artistic gymnastics, and Alinoy, all come from the city of Rishon LeZion. So Prime Minister Bennett, in the meeting, saying, I don't know what you guys are doing in Rishon LeZion, but obviously it's working, and we have gold medalists coming out of that city.
Well, skateboarding is a sport in South Africa, and our oldest ever Olympic contestant, all 46 years of him, was a skateboarder from South Africa. So yeah, you've got your windsurfing, we've got our skateboarding. Just a pity about Russia.
Was that Dallas Oberholzer?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Trivia question. Somebody please find out if Dallas Oberholzer went to Sandringham High School.
It's not the Dallas you're thinking of. I know exactly which Dallas you're thinking of, and I'm going to get his surname because he's an old mate, and it's wrong of me to forget his surname.
But not Dallas, Levine, I know which one you're talking about. Dallas Oberholzer. There were two Dallases.
You think two Dallas? I suppose
there were two Dallases.
They're so, both 46, and they were named after the Dallas because the one Dallas would have been the same age group as you.
So if you were all listening out there, and you've given my age away, which is totally fine, and went to Sandringham High School, please somebody be Sherlock Holmes and find out if that was our Dallas Oberholzer.
I'll find out because I knew your other Dallas.